morning and welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, May 27th, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. I am in studio with Maddie Love, Marissa Alexa McCool, and Stephanie Zavan. This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio at mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. The phone number is only available when we're live, but you can always email or tweet whether we're live or you're listening to the podcast. Maddie, Marissa, Stephanie, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thanks.
I feel like it's my first time all over again.
Well, this week we are going to be talking about Marissa's new book that is coming out, which I have the name right here, Once Unspoken, correct?
Yes.
Excellent. And do you want to tell us, like, what was the inspiration for this?
So I made my first public appearance as my true self in the UPenn production of The Vagina Monologues back in 2017. And I got close with a lot of the people who were in the cast, and a lot of them talked to me about trans issues because it turns out I was the first trans person in 17 years of the production to ever be in the show. And one of the things that really irritated me about that was that they used the trans monologue and five cis people performed it. And that seemed weird because it came on right after my part and you could see the people in the audience looking at them, then looking at me, then looking, you know. So that was an experience. But then they invited me back as a spotlight speaker, and I could perform my own piece. And what I noticed was that I was being invited to perform my own piece, but everybody else in the show had to deal with the very, very strict licensing of that particular show. Specifically, a girl named Magana, who is a Southeast Asian woman, she was wearing a full sari, and she had to fight for one sentence. She wanted to say, my sari is not an excuse to fetishize me. And she had to fight for that. And I also noticed there were about 70 women in the show. Maybe 10 of them were of color. And I was the only trans person. And I obviously wasn't a student anymore. So it's like someone's not feeling represented by this show. And it looks like a lot of people aren't. And that was what Magana was saying, was that I don't feel welcome here. I don't feel like this show is about us. You know, I don't feel like this show is about people like Marissa. And, you know, that's one kind of trans person. Never mind that there are no trans men involved at all. And they were born with vaginas. Why are they irrelevant? And, you know, we kind of had that moment of, well, why don't we write our own show? You know, ha, 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 ha. And then it was like, hey, why don't we write our own show? So that was kind of the whole inspiration behind it. And Magana, she is a Fulbright scholarship winner. She's heading overseas to now that she's graduated. And I was like, you have to write the foreword. Your voice needs to be heard. You are an incredibly special person. And it was like, I'm going to put out feelers. I want women and people of color. I want trans men. I want trans women. I want queer people, like any, as many different kinds of people that can possibly be represented here, because we wanted to make a story that was in the vein of the Vagina Monologues, but not just for white cishet 90s feminists.
Yeah, that actually was one thing that I definitely found reading through, was just the idea of how dated it is in the sense of people of color, trans, but then, and somebody had brought up another part, which was, you know, the school shootings and things like that, which affect, I think, everybody in that sense. And it's just like, yeah, these sound like they need to be updated.
Right, right. And that is not to say that it's a bad show, nor is it to say that any of us are ungrateful for the conversations it did get started. But I'm sitting there in a theater with mostly kids who are 10 to 12 years younger than me. And we're talking about, you know, there's no social media. There's no school shootings. There's no, there's one trans monologue, and it's problematic at best. And it's just, you know, a lot of people were saying to me, well, my trans friends don't want to come because they don't feel welcome in this space. And you also had the producers going on beforehand to say, specifically women and people with vaginas. So it was like they have to update the opening and closing to be more inclusive. And once again, that is not to say that Eve Ensler created a bad piece, but it is to say that it was a little bit niche. And there are other people who are like, well, why can't I talk about what I've been through? Why am I not represented in this show? Why isn't there a monologue about being of color except to call, you know, my vagina a coochie snorcher? Like, let's, you know, we need more, something maybe a little more serious about what that's like. So I felt like instead of doing the Eve Ensler thing of interviewing people and then trying to piece together, I would try to find as many voices as I could and have them write their own words, and then write some of my own pieces as well.
And it turned out fantastic.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Though I will admit, I think I have to go to the dentist, because I think I got a couple of cavities.
Oh, yeah.
No, you talking about your relationships was absolutely awesome and very sweet.
That's another thing that's not very well represented in media in general, is poly relationships. So I try to emphasize what that's like, because there are a lot of people who are like, well, how does poly work? Or as Callie asked recently, what is your Google calendar like? So, you know, most people think it's, oh, well, you're married and you also want to sleep with other people. It was like, no, I have individual relationships with my partners and they're completely different from each other. So I really wanted to emphasize that. And especially Devin, who is not also a content creator and is not always out there trying to be visible. They pretty much just enjoy being around me for some reason. So I made an entire chapter for them, because some people were like, well, why don't you ever write anything about Devin? It's like, because they don't really want me to. They're completely happy.
Sorry.
You know, I was just thinking, going back to you talking about how the vagina monologues almost just need to be updated. And it's like, they were created, was it 20 years ago, 30 years ago?
I believe it was in the 90s.
Yeah, so it's like, there's a lot of things from the 90s that at the time were fantastic. Mm-hmm. But we do, you know, society's moved forward. We've moved forward. We've grown. We've learned. It doesn't, I like what you said, Al. It doesn't make it bad. It just means we need new stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the trans monologue they have, like I said, it's a little bit problematic. It still revolves around the idea that one is defined by their vagina. And it's like, that's not what made me a woman. That's not right. What most of our experiences, it's like, because the opening line feels creepy, because it says, you know, the first time I saw a vagina was when I was changing my sister's diaper. It's like, that's not really.
Yeah, I've admittedly never sat or, you know, attended the vagina monologues or anything else, but yeah, that would be, that's, I realize it's not intentionally creepy, but it does kind of have a.
Yeah. And
no thanks.
You know, it also revolves around the, you know, oh, I was beaten, I was whatever, and I had to overcompensate and all that. And of course, it's a straight trans woman. So, you know, there's that whole aspect too. And once again, I'm not saying that it's entirely, you know, worth throwing out. But the fact is, it just doesn't represent a lot of people. And it does get a lot of conversation started. And there are still some pieces that are really relevant. But there are an awful lot of people who feel left out. So I decided to try to make something like that that would include a lot more people. At least half the writers are trans. More than 66% are queer of some flavor. And more than 10 of them are people of color. So that was the idea of, you know, the subtitle of the book is a series of monologues from the previously unheard. And that was the point, to sort of boost them.
Yeah, I like the diversity and the inclusivity that's included in the book. And I think my favorite part is, as you said, it's in their words. Mm-hmm. It's like you're not interpreting what they say through your lens and through your, like, filtering it through you. Like, you're getting what they want to say out. And that was wonderful.
I feel like people misinterpret intersectionality as some kind of hierarchy of oppression, and it's not. It's simply saying, you probably have a different experience than I do, and I don't feel like it's my place to take someone's experience and interpret it. It's like, well, here, you tell them. If I can use the minuscule platform that I have to help you tell your story, I'm going to do that rather than telling people what I think your story is.
Yeah, there is Mandisa Thomas's story. It's like, I obviously can't fully identify with that as a white woman, but I could identify with part of it as, you know, somebody who doesn't meet the stereotypical, you know, sexual ideal of the country. Like, so it was great, like, reading all these stories and going, okay, I don't want to completely identify with this, but I do kind of identify with this, and just pulling out meaning out of each story.
Yeah.
It was great.
And
well, and even just the things that I can't identify with, having it said in their own words and trying to, you know, not trying to sympathize and be like, okay, this is what they went through.
Yeah, I can be aware of it.
Yes, this is the acknowledgement of it, and like, okay, this is how this happened. Now, how can I try and make sure this doesn't happen again?
Yeah.
In my presence, at least.
Right, and you know, there was, especially including trans men and non-binary folk. Like, I can imagine, you know, Aiden came to the show with me, and it's like the only mention of trans men was, like I said, in the opening precept. And you know, MB folks like my friend Aaron or like Devin or people who are AFAB but don't identify as women, they don't have a place in that show, and I don't feel like that's right.
You know? No, it sounds like what you've written is basically take two.
Pretty much. And it's not like you know, oh, the vagina monologue sucks. No, it was
a start.
It really was.
Yeah, and it's so I feel like we should have music right now, and we're not having music.
I know. Watching the countdown timer on air going, oh, it's almost time for break.
I know. Oh, there we go. But please stay with us through the break, and we'll return to Atheist Talk with Maddie Love, Stephanie Zavan, and Marissa Alexa McCool. I'm Hertzie Hertz, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
The 4th Annual Minneapolis-St. Paul Mini Maker Faire is a festival of creativity showcasing the projects of local builders, scientists, gamers, artists, and makers. The Makers Faire is on June 2nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Minnesota State Fair Grandstand. Curious about robots? They've got them. Want to learn how to carve wood or weld? Covered. Feel an urge to upcycle odd materials into art? Get inspired. Explore electricity, ride a human-powered Ferris wheel, and discover local resources for makers of all kinds. It's a great day of family fun with interactive exhibits and maker demonstrations appropriate for all ages, including a special make-and-take area for kids. Plus, they have live music, street performers, and presentations. The Minneapolis-St. Paul Mini Maker Fair is June 2nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Grandstand. Discounted tickets available online at msp.makerfair.com. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram for maker profiles and updates on what you will see at this year's fair. That's msp.makerfair.com.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly. Plus, our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers. With scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Thank you.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzie Hertz, in studio talking today's guests, Maddie Love, Marissa Alexa-McCool, and Stephanie Zavan. Before we get back, however, I want to remind everyone listening live that immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production of American Atheist. Please note, you can catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved with the conversation with Maddie, Marissa, and Stephanie, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. I think we have a Facebook page too, right?
Yes, we have a Facebook page, and we've got a Facebook page and a Twitter. The only thing we're missing is Instagram and Snapchat.
I don't know if Instagram would work. At least not this morning.
No,
I think totally pictures are, no.
It is too warm this morning. I gave Stephanie a ride in today, and I was like, I'm turning full Minnesotan right now because all I can think about is the weather.
It's either too hot or too cold.
If it reached,
actually, it's never too cold.
No, I was going to say, if it hit 30 degrees today, I would be very happy.
I think it hit 30 Celsius.
More than, well, not yet. It will, though.
All right, well, we're having an amazing... We'll stop being Minnesotan, Marissa.
Oof, that hot out today.
Oh, don't yeah, you know. Sure, don't you know?
I am Thor.
Hey, Thor.
Hey, Loki. Sorry.
I don't want to get help.
On topic... Marissa, did you find that you had to do any work to persuade people to contribute? That people who maybe, you know, their voices haven't been asked for, you had to convince them that somebody was listening? Or was everybody really eager to contribute at this point?
I think the most difficult part in that regard was there were several people who wanted to remain anonymous. And especially one in particular was about her life living under an abusive marriage and how she used building her house and arranging things in her house as her escape because she had nothing else. She didn't know anybody. She was young, religious, and, you know, sort of married off at like age 17 or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Was that the one who she didn't leave her house for 6 months?
Yes.
Oh, that my goodness.
Yeah, that was a powerful, powerful piece.
Yeah. And, you know, she's still religious and connected to her family, so of course she didn't want her name published with that. She's a PhD candidate at University of Minnesota, and you know, she didn't want anything connected to that because I'm sure she doesn't want her parents to know both that and that she's gay. So, you know, there were some difficulties like that that I had to work through and to make sure that people would be safe. There was even one writer who wrote one piece with their name attributed to it and another that they didn't. So I don't feel like anybody was hesitant to be heard. I feel like they were more hesitant to attach their name with brutal honesty, because even still, women and non-men being honest about themselves can encourage and perpetuate violence against them.
Sorry, that was just like...
Say, I can kill a conversation, can I?
That was maybe a slightly more sober answer than I was expecting, but yes.
Well, it was just, you know, reading through that, and some of these stories, honestly, like, I had to step back and go, okay, I'm going to read this story, but I can't read it right now.
Yeah.
I'm not in the right frame of mind. They're powerful, and I think that they're stories that need to be told, and they need to... More than needing to be told, I think they need to be heard.
Yeah.
I just hope that the people that need to hear them, hear them.
Well, another example of one of those that is, you know, a big content warning is Melissa Franks. And Melissa Frank is a non-binary person up in Duluth. And in December, their 19-year-old son was murdered. And their piece is... In a lot of detail about what they were going through, especially their experience at the morgue, where they were not allowed to see him because of that. And I remember reading part of what they wrote, where they said, the coroner said they could pull the sheet off of a hand. that was all they would be allowed to see to say goodbye. And they said, you know, that image would have haunted me for the rest of my life. And I remember thinking, that image is haunting me for the rest of my life. I can't imagine being told that about my own child. One of the weird coincidences, too, is that another writer, because this was the first time I wrote a book that writers I didn't even know reached out to me. And there was another writer not connected to me in any way who wrote in and also wanted to write about her son who was murdered. And he was the same age and murdered in the same way. So it was like, you know, they were both 19 and it was chilling. So I made sure the book was dedicated to both of those because 19-year-old kids just being murdered. And of course, you know, we often talk about how frustrating it is for the gun debate and every time there's a school shooting, which I'm sure there's been one since this conversation started, which is depressing. But what makes it even worse is having your own child be murdered and then people telling you that you aren't allowed to participate in the gun debate or, you know, any of the cliches. It's like, it's frustrating enough. And imagine adding that to it. Imagine having your son shot with a shotgun at point blank range and someone telling you that your position in the gun debate is invalid. And Melissa spoke at the March for Our Lives up in Duluth, and a lot of their speech is what's in the book. And I knew what most of that speech was going to be, and I was still wrecked. Because even in that platform, you know, I even remember during the Women's March, there were an awful lot of people who were like, oh, trans women, you can have your own march. This isn't about you. Or, you know, women of color, this isn't about you. This is about a bunch of white cis women getting together. This is our time. There was a lot of that gatekeeping that we often talk about. And Melissa chose their platform to not only talk about their son, but made sure to say, you know, Black Lives Matter and LGBT rights matter. And, you know, when someone is given a platform like that, they can make it all about themselves, and they chose not to. And I've always tried to live by that as well. You know, I could have just made this book about trans women, but I don't feel like that would have been genuine to how many different people out there have these kind of experiences.
Well, and it wouldn't be true to the title of the book. I mean, it would in part, because trans women's voices, you know, should be heard and their story should be heard too, but it would be such a narrow... It would be in such a narrow focus.
Mm-hmm. And even within trans women, there are drastically different experiences. You know, I'm an economically stable trans woman who lives in a state where we're protected. Yeah. And there are plenty of trans women that I know personally who don't even have their own parents' support. And even then, I'm a white trans woman. Princess Harmony, who was a queer Latinx trans woman. It's like, I don't have the same experiences that you do, because if trans women have it bad, trans women of color have it really bad. Their life expectancy is 35. And, like, Princess Harmony is another one who I had the weirdest connection to. I went to the same community college as her before I transitioned. So it was like, I found her in a book. Like, I found her in a book. I'm like, I know that name. Oh my God, I went to school with her.
Well, we will return with our guests, Marissa, Stephanie, and Maddie, right after the break. Please stay with us. I'm Hertzy Hertz, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And Jake Duroff.
We're the hosts of the all-new Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
We'll be discussing mortgage rates, why they're at a seven-year high, what that means for the market, cash-out refinances, why they're so popular, and the appraisal process.
Check us out for more information or email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheists Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny and hot with a high near 97. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 70 and a 20% chance of rain after 1 a.m. Memorial Day will be sunny and hot with a high near 94 and at night, partly cloudy with a low around 70. The Bad Waitress at 700 Central in Northeast Minneapolis is a bit more grown up than its sister on Nicollet. Offering free parking in the back, this finer diner vibe has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu including the Chicken Did Waffle. Check out the full menu at thebadwaitress.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Hertzie Hertz, and we're having what I would classify as a fascinating conversation with Maddie, Marissa, and Stephanie. Before we continue this conversation, which will be our final segment with Maddie, Stephanie, and Stephanie, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. Atheist Talk is produced with the funding from Minnesota Atheist Cucumbers Restaurants in Edina, Minnesota. Please consider visiting our sponsors. Did I do it again?
You said no. Maddie, Stephanie, and Stephanie.
It's okay. I'll just talk a lot.
Nah. I'm sorry. It's morning. I haven't had enough coffee.
That's okay. You can talk, Hertzie.
With Cucumbers is an awesome restaurant, and everyone should go at least once. But if you do go, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk and you'd like them to advertise on the program and help keep us on the air. And please, if you'd like to help keep us on the air with advertising, please just contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. I also want to note our dedicated group of volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You'll help keep Atheist Talk on the air in podcast form. I also want to note our donors of the week, which we actually don't really have one, so I would like to thank all of our donors. And if you are able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page or our Patreon at www.patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization, and we couldn't do the show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis and is used with permission. Please note all opinions are the guest and host only and do not necessarily reflect those of the Minnesota Atheist organization. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist website for podcasts of previous programs. You can browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar for upcoming events. You can also sign up for the weekly email, which will give you links to upcoming events. It's a great way to stay connected to the community. If you enjoy the show and all that Minnesota Atheist has to offer, consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheist while you're on the website. Membership has some great perks. Check out the hows and whys on the website. And with all that relevant and very useful information out of the way, let's get back to our conversation with Maddie, Marissa, and Stephanie.
You mean my name's not Stephanie?
I mean, it could be.
Yeah, if you want it. It's not a bad name.
Yeah. Are you suggesting there's something wrong with a name like Stephanie?
Absolutely not.
Okay, just wondering.
Troublemaker.
All of us.
I never make trouble.
No.
I'm going to call bull on that.
You would call the rest of it on that, but it's, you know, live radio.
And you also have the fact that you're wearing the secular women's shirt, and I don't see an Outrage Brigade sticker anywhere. So you are false advertising right now.
All right. We had a question, one more question about the book, and it escaped my brain.
We were going to plug the extra for Patreon.
Oh, yes, that was. Yes, so if you become a patron of Marissa, and which page is, do you just have the one patron?
I have two.
I was going to say, because I wouldn't be surprised if you had two. So which patron gets the super awesome extra content?
I would say either. I'm going to post them on either one.
So that includes the Sis Are Getting Out of Hand?
Yes. That one's patreon.com/QAF, and Inciting Incident is patreon.com/incitingincidentpodcast.
Awesome.
And the Patreon for Atheist Talk is patreon.com/atheisttalk.
Yes.
Don't you wish your Patreon was hot like me?
Yes, every day.
And she did that in the first Takai.
As long as it's not as hot as the studio.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God, it is warm in here.
Are we really going back to the weather?
We're Minnesotans, okay? We can't stop.
Did nobody warn you before you moved?
Apparently not.
What do they talk about in, like, Pennsylvania?
Not the weather. Mostly how they're going to beat up people who don't look like them, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so isn't the weather at least a step up?
It absolutely is. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, are we really going back to that right now?
Well, speaking of the weather and changing in weather, depending on where you are, I hear you have a live show in Chicago.
We sure do, and it'll be June 23rd at the Den Theater in downtown Chicago, and because atheism sometimes has a problem with realizing there are people other than white cishet men who can speak about atheism,
what?
I know that's a shock. We decided to have our live episode include no white men. So Bethany and I, you know, a trans woman and a queer cis woman host, and our guests will be Jenica Crail of the podcast Real Life Beyond Faith. We will have Mandisa Thomas, who is the founder and president of Black Nonbelievers. Alex Jules, who is friggin' amazing. If you don't know who Alex Jules is, I kind of feel sorry for you. And Stephanie. So,
oh, right. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that. No, I'm kidding.
I just snuck into the studio.
You snuck into my car first.
Like, not in the back seat kind of way. Like, just, like, not, like, just strangling.
No, actually, it was kind of cool.
No, she had to move her purse.
Oh, okay.
Very
okay.
Sneaky.
And I pulled up, too.
Yeah.
It's a surprise attack.
Sorry.
I mean, we did a live show for 100, and Minnesota people might know the name Chris Cluey. We had him there. I flew him out from California, and like everybody else, I was just like, oh, you're just here so I can pretend that this is not me just trying to talk to Chris Cluey on a public stage. So, and I'm pretty gay. I'm mostly into women, but I would go straight for Chris Cluey any day.
And admittedly, he's the only person who's got me quasi-interested in football.
Yeah, and he doesn't even play football anymore. Now he makes role-playing card games, so probably more up your alley.
You can follow Chris Cluey on Twitter at Warcraft. Freeze take.
Yeah, it's like I have to get back to it. It's like, don't geek out. So why Chicago? Because, I mean, here, we have so many theaters.
Well, because when we did number 100, I was still living in Pennsylvania, and we had the show in Pennsylvania. So we figured, why not have it where Bethany lives? And Bethany is, I don't know if she runs it or if she's just very involved with Chicago Atheists, but I know she's pretty active with that. So it was, okay, it's your turn. We'll have one in your area. You know, you can find the right theater and you can help with all the questions of where people should go for hotels, because I spent so much trying to coordinate you know, people flying in, because Thomas Smith and Chris Chloe flew in from California, and, you know, I had Noah and the crew driving down from New York, and eight guests plus Bethany and a theater. It was a lot to coordinate, and then when they started asking questions like, what hotel do we stay at? Brain melt. So it's like, Bethany, you handle that part.
Yes. I was going to say, you are probably one of the few people who can get me to go to Chicago again.
I've heard that more than once.
I have family in Chicago.
Understood.
So, Hertzie, it sounds like we need to talk to Bethany about which hotel we should stay at.
There. Excellent. Stephanie, you on board with asking Bethany? We should just, like, all message her at once, three different messages.
I think we should all sit at brunch and everybody text her.
Bethany, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Not really, but, you know.
And now the exciting part of the show, coordinating hotels for an out-of-state trip. How about that weather, eh?
Hey, for Minnesotans, that can be riveting in the middle of winter.
I'm sure it can.
Also hearing about the warm weather, because it's like, right, that's around the corner.
Yeah, this was my first winter in Minnesota since 2010, I think. 2010 or 2011, whatever. And I went down to Florida in December, and it just so happened to be the same weekend that it snowed in Atlanta. So, like, I went to the South, and it was cold there, too. So, there's my weather contribution. You happy?
Very. So, where can people find tickets to this amazing show?
They can find it on the Den Theater website or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/incitingincidentpodcast. There's a link there. But it's directly through the theater page, so it should be very easy to find. Like,
admittedly, it was easy to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then easy to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think it was last week you were giving me heck about that.
Well, of course.
Yes. Don't worry. I'll be there.
Yeah, I bought my tickets before I knew whether or not I could have the time off work.
Yeah, technically, I haven't done the actual PTOs part yet.
Well, yeah, and we are actually going to try to do a live atheist talk show.
Yes.
From Chicago.
Oh, yes, Eric is just like looking going, oh, crap.
So what you're saying is you can be recording live. No,
I didn't know Tom was in studio today.
Well, we will be in Chicago.
That is actually true. Oh, gosh, how many people do you think we could handle on Skype?
Well, I only have four mics, and my soundboard only has four channels, or has eight channels, but only four mics.
We can
mics.
Share.
Oh, yeah, we'll totally share.
I'll share with Heath.
Well,
I'll share with
Chicago.
Any of them.
He's not coming to Chicago?
Well, I doubt it. I mean, he likes me, but not that much. Oh, and funny little anecdote. If Heath Enright ever offers you a cup of coffee that he made, you take it. I don't even like coffee, and Heath made the best cup of coffee I've ever had. So,
are we talking, like, better than...
Yes.
Okay, that works.
The best cup of coffee I've ever had.
That's
not, like,
impressive.
World's best coffee, because I see that a lot.
I'm saying my best coffee, so your experience may vary.
Usually it's in diners I see world's best coffee, or yeah. Seattle's best coffee. It's like, no, that is not Seattle's best coffee.
No, Seattle's best coffee is in Seattle.
Not in the package I bought.
No.
Or McDonald's, or whoever sells Seattle's best coffee.
Oh. Is it the Starbucks?
I don't know. Yeah, Starbucks in Seattle. Yeah, I think this conversation got off topic.
We went
slightly.
I mean, I could go back on the rails, but I don't know.
All right, so your live show for the Inciting Incident. So, because, like, I really want to know, going, what to look forward to. Is it essentially kind of like what's in this book, people getting up to speak, or is it just like a listening to a live taping of
Better
Inciting Incident?
Better not be people getting up to speak. I haven't been told to prepare anything.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be live interviews.
Well.
If you go back and listen to the 100th episode, it was in two parts. And we had the first guest on for 20 minutes, the second on for 20 minutes, and then group discussion with all of them. And then we did that twice. So with just four people, it'll probably be first person, second person, and then halftime in the middle, and then repeat. And then we, of course, had a Q&A with the audience and everybody involved at the end. So a chance to hear from a good variety of perspectives, which is also what my book does. Amazing.
Nice plug.
Yeah, I'm subtle. I'm as subtle as a train wreck.
Are we gonna get a halftime show?
No. Well, maybe.
Not even like an intermission dance, like hot dogs dancing on the screen.
Absolutely
pizza.
No Let's one wants
to
see
the
me dance.
Lobby.
I know you've got a lot of people who are guests with performing backgrounds though.
That is true. Maybe I'll get Pris out there with her acoustic guitar. Because, you know, I got to tell you, Pris is the queen of big leaguing. Do you know what big leaguing means? So, like, you know when you say, oh, yeah, I really like someone, and they're like, yeah, I had dinner with them this one time or whatever. I had Paramore on my car radio yesterday, and she's like, oh, yeah, I performed that song with Paramore live for a theater. And it's like, oh, your one-upsman gameship is strong.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, Pris played guitar with Paramore. That's a thing that happened.
That's just awesome. Nothing will beat for me. Intermission was seeing the Offspring, and their intermission was just somebody standing up dancing with bubbles. G-string.
I went to a Cleveland Cavaliers playoff game last year, and the halftime show was Montel Jordan, and I was like, oh, look at my watch, 1994 already.
Okay, if we do one, we'll do it better than that.
I was going to say, that probably doesn't take all that much. But thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk, and we'd love to you for joining us next Sunday, which should be another exciting episode.
Hi, Gregory Rich, host of Drink in the Style and owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design in St. Louis Park. I've got a question for you guys. Are you familiar with the concept of OPM, or other people's money? It's essentially using someone else's cash to buy what you want. Well, this week, Habitation is offering you a chance to use someone else's money to buy the furniture you want today. From May 23rd through May 29th, Habitation is offering 0% interest on all new in-stock and all special order items for a full 4 years. Seriously, that's 4 years of free financing. Zero, zip, nada, nothing. That means you can buy $5,000 worth of furniture for about $100 a month with absolutely no interest. So come out to Habitation at 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park to check out the coolest furniture showroom in town. Our prices are always great, but this financing deal is for a limited time only. Habitation Furnishing and Design. You've earned the right to be you. Some restrictions apply.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words, click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello and welcome to Atheist Viewpoint. I'm David Silverman, president of American Atheists, substituting in for Nick Fish, our national program director, who is out. So today I'd like to talk to you about one of my favorite topics, which is the labels that we use. And I'd like to just rant a little bit about the term agnostic. Agnostic is one of those terms that I really, really hate. It's a term that I believe very, very few people should use. I think the only people who should use the word agnostic are the people who are literally in a situation where using the word atheist would get you physical harm or harm in some way, you know, maybe fired from your job. But I think there's a lot of atheists out there who call themselves agnostics, and they need to stop. So before I get into that, I want to just say that atheism is the absence of a belief in a deity. Theism is a belief in a deity and the practice around it. And if you're an atheist, you are without that belief. And that doesn't mean you're against that belief. That doesn't mean you're absolutely sure that there is no God. It just means you are without a belief in a God. And that is a very broad term. And it means just that. You are absent a belief in a God. So if somebody says to you, do you have a belief in a God? And when I say a God, let's use the correct terminology. A God is a sentient supernatural being. So God is not love. God is not the universe. God is not all humanity. God is a sentient supernatural being, a sentient supernatural entity. A God is a sentient supernatural entity. And if you don't have an active belief in one or many, you're an atheist. And if you don't have an active belief in a God and you absolutely hate the word atheist, you're still an atheist. But a lot of atheists don't like the word because it has a negative connotation. It has a negative connotation, of course, because religion says that we should have a negative connotation. Atheist has a negative connotation because religion trashes atheism, and so people don't use the word atheist, which is known, by the way, by 90% of the country. They use other terms like agnostic, which is a term I actually really hate, and I just want to mention why. I am holding in my hand right now a coffee mug. Now, this is definitely a coffee mug, and it's yellow, and it's got some writing on it, and I have just drunk my coffee from it. It is empty. There's some little coffee left in the bottom, and I am sure that it's a coffee mug. Now, am I sure beyond 0.0% of the doubt? No, because if you go philosophical, you can't be sure about anything. We could all be brains in a vat, in a spaceship, the Matrix could be a true story, yada, yada, yada. But we use the word sure all the time. We use the word definite all the time. We don't say, I'm pretty sure I'm holding a coffee mug, but I don't know everything in the universe. This coffee mug that's in my hand could be God, cleverly disguised as a coffee mug. I can't prove it's not true, and neither can you. If I smash the coffee mug into a million pieces, that still could be just God testing us, and you can't prove it's not true. So do I say this is probably a coffee mug? Do I say my name is probably David Silverman? I don't know for sure because I don't know everything in the universe. We use these terms all the time in everyday situations, sure, certain, definite, and in none of those times do we know everything in the universe? So when atheists couch their terms by saying, well, I don't know everything in the universe, so I'm not going to call myself an atheist, I'm going to call myself agnostic. First of all, they're wrong because nobody knows everything in the universe, and they're still atheists because you're using the definition that religion gives us, which is that atheism is the absolute denial of God's existence, which is false. And it makes us logically... It makes the argument logically incompatible with reality. We don't know everything in the universe, but we still don't have a belief in a God, which makes us atheists. Now, if we use the word agnostic instead of the word atheist, if we say, well, yes, I don't have a belief in a God, but I don't know everything in the universe, so I don't want to say it. So I'm going to say I'm an agnostic. What are we doing? We are elevating the idea of a God above everything else that we know to be true. We are saying God doesn't exist is less sure than this is a coffee mug in my hand. We are elevating religion above everything else that we know to be true. That helps religion. That boosts religion in our mind and as well as everybody else's. So when you're using the word agnostic, you're not only not answering the question about whether or not you believe in God, You're sidestepping the issue with whether or not you know everything in the universe, but you're only doing it for religion. You're only doing it because religion tells you that it's bad to say you're an atheist. And I'm asking you to please consider that. Using the word agnostic elevates religion over everything else that we know to be true. I'm sure my name is David Silverman. I'm sure this is a coffee mug. And guess what? I'm also sure there's no God, even though you don't have to be sure there is no God in order to say you're an atheist. So I hope everybody out there will toss the word agnostic from their vocabulary, because it's a ridiculous thing to say. You are just as agnostic about this coffee mug being a coffee mug than you are about the invisible magic man in the sky. And if you're not willing to say you're agnostic about this coffee mug, or you're agnostic about your own name, you shouldn't be willing to say, I'm agnostic about God. Having said that, I need to talk about the National Convention for American Atheists, which is coming up March 29th to April 1st. We are making a positive and different convention this year. Hugh Laurie is coming to be our keynote speaker, but we also have a fantastic European feminist, the fantastic European feminist, Inna Shevchenko is coming. Barry Lynn, barring his health issues, is also scheduled to come. And Anthony Magdabosco is coming, as well as Yvette Guinevere, Yvette Dautremont. We are going to have a different and really, really interesting convention this year. It's going to be heartful. It's going to be loving. We're going to have a charity event, so that we can pack food for the hungry. We're going to be taking money to help an ex-Muslim move to America to help start his new life. We're going to be really going into the comedy and the fun. This is going to be a convention that I think you're going to remember. It's in Oklahoma City, March 29th through April 1st. And I want to make sure that people understand that our conventions are positive, they're welcoming, and they're fun. The objective of the convention, my objective of the convention, is for everybody to leave with great big sore faces from smiling too much. So please check out the website. Is atheists.org. Tickets are on sale now to see Hugh Laurie and Barry Lynn and Inna Shevchenko and the best that atheism has to offer, and meet some fantastic people at the American Atheists National Convention in Oklahoma City. I hope to see you all there. Thank you all for listening. This is David Silverman from American Atheists. Please join American Atheists and have a wonderful day. The website again for the convention is atheists.org/convention. The website to join is atheists.org/join. David Silverman, thank you for listening.